Know the value of new cells is propagating across the value of new parish. So much of mission that is not America. This effort, that destructs itself by the leader. Concern is for the image that we want of the leaders. The leaders themselves got together and they worked like divas. They worked very hard here. They were here from Atlanta, from Miami, from Houston, Texas, from Detroit. They were here and they worked like divas. It's the propagation team and a few other brothers. And we don't want to take from their own. Image in this particular work. People need to see their leaders out in the forefront. Doing what they are asking the community to do. And one of the purposes of this propagation team effort was to project the local leaders in the forefront, to the forefront, as men, imams, who want to see Al-Islam spread throughout America and the world. But we feel that the emphasis on Benali and New Fails didn't do justice to the effort by these imams. So I hope Benali and New will, in its coming issue, give a due kind of report on the effort of the imams and the public relations department. I don't think that there was any intentional wrong done. I think the mistake was leaving it to Bilalia News to form the wording. Bilalia News is Bilalia News, and naturally, if they are left completely to compose the language themselves, then most likely their interest in Bilalian News sales is going to dominate that particular presentation. So I hope that the imam will compose themselves the kind of announcement they want to go in Bilalian News, announcing their efforts. Let us again say welcome. Welcome to Honorable Elijah Muhammad Mosque, Chicago, Illinois. It's always a great pleasure for me to come and see Muslims and visitors gathered here in this wonderful mosque. You know, this is one of the finest pieces of property on the south side. Sometimes we are not aware of our own possessions. This is one of our possessions here. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He sacrificed, struggled to get this building. For several years, he passed by it. Driving from the south side, was farther south where the stores and property businesses are, to his home, he passed by this building. It was a Greek Orthodox church. And he liked this building very much. He said, we must have that building. And he went and approached the people who were, at that time, running the affairs of the church. I forget the gentleman's name. And they told him that they wanted a certain price. All we like for coming, the price is too much. He tried to get them to come down. Instead of coming down, they went up. But he said, they don't want me to have this building. He said, but we have to have it. We're going to get this building. So he said, okay, we'll pay your price. They went up again. And again, he said, okay, we'll pay the price. They went up again. They went up from about $2 million all the way up to $4 million. In fact, at one time, I heard they were asking $1.75 million. They went up from $2 million to $4 million. The building wasn't worth $4 million. Not at that time. This property, this building and the school, this property here. At that time, it wasn't worth that. But Muhammad was determined. That's the price you have to pay in a society that doesn't accept you. The Nation of Islam was not accepted by the general society and didn't have the support of the majority of the good people of America. So a few people could really stick it to us because they knew that you had nowhere to turn. Said, well, we're going to preach that black Muslim doctrine in our church. We're going to make them pay for it. Make them pay double. They paid double. But all praise due to Allah, that was help. The community was poor, very poor. Would have took many, many years for this community to come up with $4 million. But all of Elijah Muhammad found a friend in Colonel Qaddafi of Libya. He extended a loan, interest-free loan. No interest, no heavy mortgage, no compounding interest. Interest-free loan was extended to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the community, the Nation of Islam, from Colonel Qaddafi of Libya, in the amount of $3 million. Isn't that wonderful? $3 million. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, while he was with us, he was making the payments. During the last couple of years of his life, it was really hard to make those payments. Time was changing for us economically. The times were changing and it really got hard. You'd be surprised to know how much financial burden was on this community during the last two or three years of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's life. Terrible financial strain was on this community. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was keeping his commitment. He was paying his debt. Then, as Allah willed it, he passed from us, and that burden fell on us. And with the new leadership that was offered in myself, we began to struggle with the same burden. Our policies change. We start lessening the demand, the financial demand on the people. That meant less money was coming in now. And the burden was still there, getting worse, getting heavier. But we found ourselves really facing the decision to sell our real estate holdings in order to keep our dignity. Because we had to pay vendors, creditors, and leave you alone. That was, I think, about $200,000 twice a year, wasn't it? Something like that. And that's a lot. You can't pay that. You can't do that. You poor people, you don't have that money. The only way to do it is you have to sell some of the things. The community overextended itself, got too much, bought too much land, too much property, and didn't have the management, didn't have the resources for developing it to make it profitable. So we went to the Muslim Brothers of Libya, and we told them our financial situation. And they said, don't worry about it. Pay whenever you're able to. I believe that was close to 3 years ago, wasn't it? Almost 3 years ago. We haven't paid them a penny, and they haven't at not one time have they asked me, when are you going to get able to pay? When are you going to be able to pay? We haven't given them a penny, not a single penny since then. And they haven't one time said, you know, don't forget the debt now. When are you going to be able to pay? Not one single time. That's Muslim. Muslim. Now, I'm not saying that some Christians are not like that. Some Christians are like that too. Even some Christians are better. They'll say, forget the debt. It's for good. It's for God. Righteousness, forget it. And some Muslims will say, forget it too. In fact, our brothers in Libya have said, forget it. They have not reminded us, so that's like saying, forget it. But we intend to pay, and we will pay. It'll be left up to them to refuse it. Inshallah, Allah will bless us, and we'll be able to carry them the money. Yes. But I thank Allah for the honorable Elijah Muhammad who carried. He had the courage to do big things. And because he had the courage to do big things, we now have more respect in the world than we would have had if he hadn't been with us. Oh, yes. And we still need that kind of courage, brothers and sisters. We have to have the courage to do big things. Don't think small. Stop thinking small. Don't aim at a target that's no bigger than you are. Always aim at the target that's bigger than you are. Yes. Then you'll progress. I thank Allah for blessing all of Elijah Muhammad and the nation of Islam with this wonderful piece of property here. We intend to make it more and more Islamic. If you keep noticing the place, you'll see that. We're going to take the American flag and put it out of the direction of Qibla. Then it will be more Islamic. I don't think if you go into the holies of holies, you'll find the American flag. The Jews and the Catholics, they have their holies of holies. And I don't believe if you go into their holies of holies, you won't find it. I don't think you'll find the American flag standing up there in their holies of holies. So we have to take the flag out of our prayer direction. In fact, do it right now. And put it over here somewhere. It shouldn't be in front of Qibla. Put it here somewhere. Put it next to the flag here. That's good enough. Yes. It should be on my right. Allah is on my right. No, no. Put it back like it just put the flag out of Qibla. See? We used to have people sitting here in the direction of Qibla while we prayed. So we changed that. No, they don't go there. They know when it's time to pray, they get up and they move from there. And they sit over here. When the brother is praying, you know it's wrong to even just walk past him? If you can find another way, you're not supposed to even walk past him.
You're not supposed to walk past him in front of him while he's praying. This is tradition of Prophet Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad instructed the people not to go in front of the person when he's praying. If you can find another route, take that other route. Yes. So why should we have people sitting up in front of us and we praying and they sitting up?
Right.
Are the American flag? This is not a place for the American flag. This is a place for concentration, devotion to Allah. So whatever is in this place, it should have religious significance. This flag has Quran on it and La ilaha illallah on it. That has Islamic significance. The American flag represents blood spilled for the nation, political authority. It's not a religious flag. But they ask that you do that respect. Well, when we have civic meetings here, political meetings here, we will give them that respect. We will put the American flag up. But when we have Jummah, we have Salat here, when we have Ta'aleem here, we're going to put the American flag aside. I've instructed another imam and show him. It's not nice to have the American flag in front of people. Are we bound to the flag? We're dealing with new people. We're dealing with new people. People who don't understand their religion. And maybe some of them will think that they should bow to the flag too. Yes. We don't bow to the flag. We bow to Allah. Yes. All right. Now, it's okay if you turn the flag the other way. Put them the other way, it's all right. Then you change the position. You don't have to change the position. Just keep it out of Qibla direction. Yes. Change it back like it was. Yes. Now, we are not asking for our flag to be over here. Flag can be anywhere. And we don't want this flag in front of us when we make prayer. Although it has religious significance, we don't even want our flag, the religious flag, in front of us when we make direct ourselves towards Qibla and make that. No, we don't want it there. It has symbolic meaning. It shouldn't be there. In the masjid, actually, the flag shouldn't even be in the masjid. Why? Because it has symbols that were forbidden in the time of Prophet Muhammad to be in the masjid. Quranic inscription can be in the masjid. But not this symbolic thing here that represents people and blood and all of that. Sacrifice for nations. That's not supposed to be in the masjid. You'll find no human pictures in the masjid. No animal pictures in the masjid. There should be no symbolism in the masjid. That's why I told them to take all the symbolism off the blackboard. You know, we used to talk from symbolism on the blackboard. We had a lot of symbolism there. The cross and a hanging man and et cetera. So we removed all of that. It won't be right until we remove everything that is un-Islamic. Yes. We won't be successful fearing government of men above Allah. We have to submit our own authority and ideas to Allah for success. I would like to read verse in Quran, chapter Al-Baqarah, and I believe should be around 58th or 59th verse. I'll start with the section six, beginning with 47th verse through verse 58 and 59. Seek refuge with Allah from the Satan. Ya Bani Israel, Ya Bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأنا فضلتكم على العالمين All descendants of Israel, call to mind the favor which I have bestowed upon you. Allah is speaking in the Quran. And that I have preferred you to all others. Alal alameen, it means above the other communities, other people. Or in the whole world, they were God's choice. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا لَا تَجْزِي نَفْسٌ عَنْ نَفْسٍ شَيْئًا وَلَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا شَفَاعَةٌ ولا يؤخذ منها عفو ولا هم ينصرون. And then guard yourselves against the day when one soul shall not help another, shall not avail another, shall not be able to help another, nor shall intercession be accepted for it, nor shall compensation be taken from it, nor shall anyone be helped from without. As the old saying goes, every tub will have to sit on its own bottom. And remember, we delivered you from the people of Pharaoh, then set you hard tasks and punishment, slaughtered your children, your sons, pardon me, set you hard tasks and punishment. They, meaning Pharaoh and his people, they set you hard tasks and punishment, slaughtered your sons, and let your women folk live. Therein was a tremendous trial from your Lord. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, Allah has revealed the evils of all kingdoms. All kingdoms. To show us the evil in present-day kingdom. It is a reminder to us that such evils continue to creep up in society until they get dominant and become a pharaoh, an oppressive society. Don't you see how Western society, Western civilization, and many other parts of the world have killed the men folk, killed the masculine force in society that have allowed the feminine force to take control, to get dominance in the society. Now, I'm not talking about equal rights. I'm not talking about the equal rights of men and women. That's a completely different story. I'm talking about how oppressive societies deny the male his masculine dignity so that he will never be a threat to their evil way of order, to their evil order. They rob him of his masculine dignity, and they make him just passive, submissive to anything they do. They deprive him of the knowledge that will structure him properly, and they give him weak, watered-down knowledge that never put muscles in his morals, never put muscles in his intellect. This is a kind of slaying, a slaying of the male, slaying of the son, and saving the daughters. The male is a leader. So in one sentence, it is the slaying of leadership. Beheading the leadership, beheading the society of the masses, so that the masses have no leadership. And they save the society of the women. How many times have we been brought to the court and the wife has more recognition than the husband? And she's guilty and the husband is innocent. The judge says, shut up, boy. Now tell me what did he do, Mary? And the poor man just waiting for a chance. He wanna plead his case. He wanna give the evidence. And the judge ignore him. Okay, you go on back home, boy. Going back home. And don't let Mary bring you before me again. I'm going to send you away for 3 years. Times have changed a bit, but this evil is still going on in America. Look how they've given us women knowledge. Women life. But no governmental knowledge. No governmental life. A male is to go up to the seat of government. And a male is to be civically oriented, politically oriented, because he has to defend the outer borders while the woman takes care of the inner borders. And if he's not prepared to defend the outer borders, then he's being deprived of his role as a man in society. Yes. It's a shame that our men have no real sense of government in their lives. You don't have to be a member of government to benefit from the male dignity, or to have that male dignity. If you practice government in your own life, then you are a member of the people who are in touch with the correct way of structuring society. But if you don't practice government in your life and just live from day to day and weekend to weekend and spend your money like you some child that's not responsible for your house and not responsible for your neighborhood, not responsible for the direction that your nation is taking, then you are like a child or a woman. Yes, you're like a child or a woman. You have no male dignity in society. Brothers and sisters, this society is filled with evils. And this is a good time to take the rug up and sweep all the trash out. This is not the time to overlook any evils in America. America is doing some soul searching. After the Civil Rights Movement, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Civil Rights Movement, America has been doing some soul searching. So while this is good season is here and America is willing to do some soul searching, we should be courageous, bold enough to take the rugs up and sweep all the evils out. remember we delivered you from the people of Pharaoh, they set hard tasks and punishments, slaughtered your sons, and let your women folk live. All this is really, it would take a book to write just on this. One verse, it would take a book. The concept we have of freedom is a concept that is associated with flesh. Flesh and a woman. Spiritual aspiration. Man, he is logic, he is seen in the concept of control over the spiritual aspiration. When we see control in the spiritual aspirations, or all the spiritual aspirations, logical grasp of our spiritual desire, then you see what is typical of the male. The male doesn't like to just go or have his desires run wild. The male likes to see where his desires are taking him. And the male wants some control over it. You see? But the female, because she's in touch so much with young life, she doesn't have patience too much. When she wants something, she wants it right away. She don't want to talk about it, she wants it. But a man, he's willing to discuss it, you know? Because he wants to see clearly where this is going to take him. I know you hear me. Now, this is just traditional. Sometimes the man is too inhibited. He's overprotective. So Allah has given these two elements. One to push, the other one to say, wait. And both of them are good in their places. Is that right? Oh, yeah. In America, that climate says push, push, push. Get everything you want. Hey, I want a little liquor. Get that too. I want to be unfaithful to my wife. Get that too. So America is a society that gives freedom, complete freedom, to the blind aspirations. The blind aspirations are given complete freedom. But the logical aspirations are checked. As soon as they see you logically working something out, they check you. Hey, where you going? Put you in jail and let the wild beast go free. Yeah. So our concept of freedom has degenerated. It has degenerated into a dangerous concept. We take freedom to mean the opportunity to do anything we want. Dangerous concept. That feed this Eve nature, Hawa, that give complete freedom to the Eve nature. The Hawa means these daring aspirations, these desires that are lustful, so self-seeking that they don't recognize the dangers that they're leading the individual into. Hawa, the Eve, in the Bible it's called Eve. In the Quran, the same thing is called Hawa. You see? So they give the freedom to Hawa, and they slay the intellect of the masses. Isn't that a fact? It might be a little better now than it was a long time ago, but it's still in effect. That evil is still in effect. There was one time when the church ruled the whole society. And the masses had no opportunity to get education. They couldn't learn how to read, write, etc. A lot of you don't know that, or you want to forget it, or have forgotten it. But this is history of Christian society. One time, Christian society was ruled by the church. And at one time, they didn't allow education to come to the average person, to the masses. There was no such thing as public education. Public education is a new thing in Western history. These are the things you have to know in order to see what we have to deal with today. We have a fight today. And part of it is the same fight that we've been fighting for centuries. In fact, it is the same fight. Same fight. Oh, you sound like a troublemaker. I'm a peacemaker. Let me continue. I think we're supposed to be on hookup at 2 o'clock. I don't know if we're on hookup or not, but if we are, we wish peace and blessings of Allah to the members of the gathering, the telephone hookup throughout the nation. Peace and blessings to all of you. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Let me continue to read this section of Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, section 6, starting from verse 47 through verse 59. And remember, we divided the sea for you and saved you and drowned Pharaoh's people within your very sight. Oh, how wonderful it is. God is reminding the so-called Israelites through his prophet Muhammad, the universal messenger, peace and blessings be upon him, reminding them how they were oppressed, how their leadership was cut off like taking the head off with a sword. And how God oppressed their enemy and gave them freedom and dignity in the world. And remember, we appointed 40 nights for Moses, and in his absence, you took the task for worship, and you did grievous wrong. Look how quickly that the transition is made. So you can see quickly the events as they change. A people were oppressed and treated cruelly and wasn't allowed to have dignity as males. And God broke their oppressors and gave them dignity, gave them freedom from the oppressor, and defeated their oppressor. And all of a sudden, while their leader was seeking God, they turned right back to wrongdoing. And remember, we appointed 40 nights for Moses, and in his absence, you took the calf for worship, and you did grievous wrong. Even then, we did forgive you. There was a chance for you to be grateful. Even after that, Allah forgave them. They showed sign that they were willing to follow Moses and turn from the calf, so God gave them respite. So that they would be grateful. That should make them thankful. He saved them from the oppressor. That should make them thankful. They should have sung praises for a long time. They could have never forgot the song of praise. And then they turn away, and God show mercy to them, forgive them, and show mercy to them, and bring them back again to make them thankful, that they should be thankful. Thank God, thank God. We couldn't do this by ourselves. We couldn't have managed this. Thank God. He is the one that has saved us. But how soon people become stubborn in their self-conceit, become arrogant, proud, and begin to think that their greatness is the reward of their own effort, or the reward of their own planning, their own strategy, rather than the reward of their efforts as God has done to reward it. For God rewards effort. So we can't calculate and guarantee rewards to ourselves. Our plans and our strategies can't guarantee anything to us. Misfortune may take the whole thing away, or we ourselves may go blind. And remember, we gave Moses the scripture and the criterion. What is Quran? Quran is criterion. A standard by which you are able to detect wrong from right, or right from wrong. A standard body of knowledge. A standard body of principles with which you can separate wrong from right and judge what is wrong and what is right. A chance for you to be guided aright. And remember, Moses said to his people, "Oh, my people, you have indeed wronged yourselves by your worship of the calf. So turn in repentance to your Maker and slay yourselves, the wrongdoers." Now, there is a difference of opinion that I have with this verse. Some think it means only the physical person. Slay yourself, mean the physical person. Slay yourself, kill the wrongdoers among you. But I believe there's a deeper message here. It means slay yourself. Not yourself physically. Slay your present mind. Kill that present mind that you have. That's keeping you in disobedience. That's keeping you in trouble. Kill that present mind you have so that God can give you the right mind. Mortu fahya. Die so you will live. Yes. Yes. You cannot solve the problem of wrongdoing by killing all the wrongdoers. This is not the way Allah does it. Allah said if he had wanted all people to be the same, or to be obedient, or to be Muslim, he could have made it that way. But he doesn't want us to go around slaying every disbeliever, slaying every wrongdoer. No. Each one to slay his own evil mind. I'm not saying we are not to punish violators. Serious violations of law should be punished. And violations that deserve death should receive death. But this is not the real meaning here. The real meaning here is speaking to a spiritual disease in these people. And the real meaning here is that their mind has been wrongly formed. And they have to slay that mind so the mind can be rightly formed under the guidance of God. That will be better for you in the sight of your Maker. Then he turned towards you in forgiveness, for he is oft returning, most merciful. And remember you said, O Moses, we shall never believe in you until we see God bodily. Physically is what it means. Like I see this microphone, like I see my hand. That's what it means. We shall never believe in you until we see God manifestly. But you were dazed with thunder and lightning, even as you looked on. فأخذت قوم الصائقة وأنتم تنظرون. And thunder and lightning took you. أخذت. Dazed you means took away your sight, your purpose, while you looked on. What is this? What is the meaning of this? Dear beloved brothers and sisters, we have had that same problem. We were taught by W.D. Farrar that God should be seen in a physical body.